There are many stories coming out of Tuesday's terrorist attacks, harrowing stories, heroic stories. NPR's Alex Chadwick spoke this morning with a young freelance reporter from our New York member station, WNYC. His name is Jeremiah Johnson. He told Alex he rushed down to the World Trade Center, and when he got there, things were pretty bad and about to get worse.
At this point, the buildings were still burning. I heard people yelling and screaming, "Oh my God!" And I looked up, and almost right in front of me, the first tower began to collapse.
How far away was it?
I was a couple hundred feet away. It was maybe about 100 feet or something like that. There's a marina that's just by in the World Financial Center, right outside the World Financial Center. It's a large open area plaza and a marina where certain boats are docked. There was about a 15-story high wall of flying bricks and computer parts and pieces of paper, and a cloud going at around 30 miles an hour was just sucking people up, sucking them in as folks ran away. Luckily, I was, you know, far away enough that I got a jump on it, but there was no way I was going to make it out of there without the smoke overtaking me. I looked to my right. Everyone to my right had already disappeared. There was an opening to my left, and in front of me was the Hudson River, and to my left were several boats that were docked. There was another gentleman running alongside me. He and I jumped down onto a boat. We smashed the window of the dining cabin of the boat, jumped through, and then put a tablecloth up to cover ourselves. We could only see through the windows. First it was black, and then it was brown, and then it went to a pale gray. By the time it cleared up, I jumped back out of the boat, and all I could hear were people yelling and screaming. There were still a few firemen still standing. Obviously, they were still alive after the crash.
So how long are you in the boat before it clears away and you get back out?
I was in the boat for what seemed to be between 5 and 10 minutes before it cleared back out. I jumped out of the boat and joined up with three firemen who were still standing, and we started pulling people out of the rubble. There were people, one gentleman, his name was Chris, he was bleeding from his ears. He had a heart condition, so we took him really slow, walking across. We got him to an ambulance that was luckily close by, hadn't been blown out. We pulled two or three other people out as well. Finally, there was a rather large woman that the fire guys needed some help with, so about four of us carried this one woman to what we thought was safety in the World Financial Center. I kept her talking. I asked her about her children. I asked her what subject they liked in school, where she lived. She was staying conscious. She was staying with us, but she was bleeding out of her ears, bleeding out of her mouth. She couldn't feel her legs. We're about to move this woman out when the second tower collapsed. It was a sound similar to the first tower, just a creaking and then a sort of a soft boom and then a million sounds of shattering and a wind like the first one, about a 30-mile-an-hour wind just pushing all of us through. I was holding on to the stretcher that we had put her on, but I got blown off. I got knocked into several walls and knocked on the ground. I got back up, and once again it went from black to brown. Couldn't see anything in front of me. Everyone was screaming. What we wound up doing is I saw about 2 or 3 inches in front of me, that's as far as I could see in front of me, was some sort of light. And I felt ahead, and it was glass. I reached down for some type of, for anything to break the glass. And as I reached down, I heard thuds, sort of a series of boom, 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 boom thuds coming down onto my left. So I moved to my right, closer to the glass. I picked up something that was metal, broke the glass, and it revealed sort of a body shop type store. I screamed for everyone else. They brought the one of the firemen who was still with the injured woman. He brought her in, and about four of the firemen and the photographer came in. The firemen were vomiting blood. We looked all through the place for water, anything. We found actually whoever the store manager was. We found his lunch, and we were able to find water for the patient and water for the firemen who were vomiting blood. One man was able to. There was a landline that's still working that he was able to call his family weeping. Maybe about 15 minutes into the time we were there, we didn't move from the location, and we saw another searchlight or a searchlight come through what was left of the window that we had broken, and turned out it was another fireman. He led us back out.
So you follow this fireman out. You follow this fireman out.
He follow the fireman out.
Yeah.
Get the woman to safety.
Okay, and then what happened?
And
I mean, you've
I
now survived. Sorry, hold on. And then what happened? I mean, you've now survived two of these tower collapses. What then?
Next was to find my family. So we got the woman to safety. After the other firemen were drinking water, we all drank some water, and I ran back towards Battery Park City, back towards the World Financial Center where we were.
And you have family living there?
I have family living there. So I went back inside. Up until this point, I didn't know exactly what had happened. I had no idea whether or not there was, you know, an explosion or what was left of the building. He informed me that not just one, but both towers had collapsed. You couldn't see, 20 feet above your head. It was all smoke, all clouds. You couldn't see feet in front of you. So when I realized that that's what happened, I almost knew that something had happened in Battery Park City where the family lived. So I ran down. I finally got down to Battery Park City. There were about 3 or 4 inches of this pale gray ash lining the streets of Battery Park City. Gateway Plaza, the front building of the complex that my family lives in, was blown out. I ran into the back of the complex where my father and Val and Circe, my stepmom, and my sister live. The doorman said that he thought that they were still upstairs, but wasn't sure. I ran upstairs. The apartment was empty. I ran back downstairs, and there was just hundreds of people leaving the building. I sprinted down the promenade to the end of the promenade in Battery Park City, where there were boats, ferries taking people to New Jersey to safety. A couple hundred people, families, were carrying their children and carrying some of their belongings onto these ferries. I stayed there yelling and for Val and for Circe for about 10 minutes. They weren't anywhere to be found. So I ran back up to the site of, I don't even know if it was where the first collapse was or the second collapse. Everything was just rubble. And I picked up a very small water tank and started putting out small fires, carrying cord for some of the firemen and just going through the rubble looking for more people. I did that for another half an hour, 45 minutes, and then finally there were reinforcements were brought in, reinforcements for fire, reinforcements for PD, and they cleared everyone out. In the meantime, I ran back uptown. My mother lives in the West Village. I went to tell her that I was still alive, and then I came back downtown to see what was going on in triage. They didn't have anything set up yet, but what I did was me and another reporter, we talked our way into Independence Plaza to the 39th floor. It's the top floor of Independence Plaza, which is right behind BMCC, and that's a direct view down onto the wreckage, down onto what happened. A very kind family took us in, and we stayed there the night. We watched Building 7 collapse, and we stayed there the night as witnesses to what had happened that day, and thank God I'm alive.
Reporter Jeremiah Johnson of member station WNYC in New York, talking with NPR's Alex Chadwick.